to be head out now.
I wish I knew how.
Your eyes are like starlight now.
True black sky.
I'll take your hat. Your hair looks
good. I ought to say no, no.
Boys, I'm moving close.
Hi, welcome to True Crime Brewery's 12 Beers of Christmas. This is episode number one. And what we're going to do for these episodes is there'll be one released every night until Christmas, and Dick will review a Christmas beer, and we'll discuss a crime that happened at Christmas time. So these are abbreviated episodes of True Crime Brewery that will be available every night. Now our episode today is going to be The Hidden Crisis of Domestic Violence Over the Holidays. Now there is an opinion that domestic violence gets worse over the holidays, so we're going to discuss this. It's a little bit different than what we usually do, but I think it's going to be fun.
Well, I'm excited about this also. This is going to be maybe not fun-filled, but certainly an entertaining 12 days of beers and crime.
I hope people find it entertaining, yeah.
Let's get started.
Okay. All right, let me read a 5-star review, and then you can do the beer review.
Okay.
So this one is You're One of My Faves, and it's by Scott's Girl, a.k.a. McMama. And I think I've seen her on Twitter. So it says, I've recently gotten into listening to podcasts, and especially true crime podcasts. And you guys are one of my all-time favorites. I love how you highlight the crime isn't all about the criminal, but also about the victim. So often the criminals become famous, infamous, and the victims get lost in the story. And I appreciate that you don't do that on your podcast. And I also like the empathetic viewpoint you take as well. Not all about the gore of the crime. I look forward to all of your new podcasts since I've listened to all of the old ones. Keep up the great work, Jill and Dick. So Scott's Girl, a.k.a. McMama, welcome to the brewery.
That's a nice review. Thank you.
Yeah, that's a very good one. So what have we got for our beer for our first day of the 12 days?
Our first beer of the 12 beers of Christmas is Anchor Christmas Ale from Anchor Brewing Company in San Francisco. Now, these guys are probably the forefathers of craft brewing. They're old time, big time. The Christmas Ale, they do a different one each year. I think it's been for 40 years.
Oh, okay.
And this one is a winter warmer. Now, winter warmers are multi-sweet offerings that tend to be a favorite winter seasonal. There's a lot of malt, brownish red to pitch black color, not much hops, and a fair amount of spice in these things.
Sounds festive.
It's supposed to be.
Okay.
This is the Christmas beer that I give to my beer-drinking friends for the holidays. So the Anchor Christmas Ale is a dark brown color with a frothy khaki head and a ton of lace. Really pretty-looking beer. There's some spice, some licorice, and some smokiness to this one. And the smokiness comes through in the taste. It's kind of a smoky malt taste, some licorice, and a little bit of dark fruit. It's medium-bodied, nice to drink, a good holiday beer.
Okay. Sounds great. Let's open it. Okay, Dickie, let's take our Anchor Christmas Ale down to the quiet end of the bar. We'll talk about domestic violence over the holidays.
Okay. I mean, it's pretty quiet at the quiet end tonight. I guess people haven't started celebrating the holiday. So maybe that's good.
Yeah. Why not?
Let's go.
So evidence does suggest that domestic abuse increases around the holidays. So Hilary Hopker of the West Midlands Police Force in the UK is actually running an anti-domestic abuse Christmas awareness campaign this year. She says that they experience a 7% increase in calls reporting abuse all through December. She also says we see specific spikes on weekends, and most calls really come in on New Year's Day. So according to UK government figures, from 2012, assault and domestic murders spiked 25% over the Christmas period. And in a similar vein, a U.S. study found that from 2010 until 2012, the number of calls to law enforcement for domestic abuse increased on New Year's Day.
I wouldn't have guessed that.
No.
I mean, that's a lot. 20, yeah. 25%.
That increase, seems like a lot. Yeah.
It does.
Yeah. Now, I guess the problem is that if women can get away from their abusers over Christmas, sometimes they're not sure who they can call because sometimes the organizations aren't open. So there are multiple explanations for why the abuse might increase over the holidays. One is that stress caused by the financial strain of Christmas, pressures of being around family that you might not normally spend a lot of time with, and also many abusers, they like to isolate their victims, so this might be the only time they get together with family. Of course, there's also increased alcohol or substance abuse consumption, and just the fact that abusers will be at home with the victims and have more opportunities to inflict violence on them.
Yeah, well, I can see, I mean, holidays are family times, right?
Yeah.
So people are all together, and maybe some people that don't normally see the abused person through the year can see that person at holidays and say, geez, he or she looks bad.
Right, and they don't know what to do.
Right.
So they might be calling after Christmas.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know, abusers commonly attempt to isolate their victims from their family and friends. So holidays are often the only time they see their loved ones for the whole year, and they get calls from family members who have gotten together and spent time with someone, and they've noticed that something's not right with a woman, usually a woman in a relationship with a man.
Yeah, it's almost always a woman.
Yeah, something might happen over the holidays to throw off red flags, Christmas dinner, something might happen, you know. These are kind of things that might come up over the holidays that wouldn't have come up before.
No, like, where'd all those bruises come from?
Right. Yeah, that's one, for sure. So the media attention around high-profile abuse cases like that, the footage of that football guy, was it football, Ray Rice?
Yeah, he played for the Ravens.
Yeah, and he attacked his fiancée in an elevator.
Well, he didn't just attack her, he knocked her out with a punch.
I mean, wow.
That's just a horrific scene.
Yeah.
And it's caught on video.
Oh, I haven't seen it. I heard about it. But what happened with him can be good, you know, that it was caught on the camera because it can expose the problem and maybe get a little more attention for it.
Well, one would hope.
Yeah. And an odd thing that can also happen over the holidays is some women might leave the shelter they're in and return to their abusers because they want to give the kids a normal Christmas with the whole family.
Right. You know, and on the one hand, I can understand that, but on the other hand, I can't. I mean, You've left the abusive person. Why would you go back and invite more abuse?
I guess there's always the hope that it's going to be better.
Well, yeah, but that's rarely proven true.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, when it comes to violence against women, I guess we often think that it's someplace else. It's not among our family and friends. But that's not true because it hits all socioeconomic groups. And it seems to be pretty widespread, even in the U.S., where we think that women are independent. There's still a lot of violence against women.
Far too much.
Yeah. So even if women in abusive relationships do leave, spending Christmas in a shelter can be really hard. Right, I would imagine.
Well, sure. I mean, you're in a shelter with people you have no idea who they are.
Yeah.
They're not family.
Right, and Christmas is the time to be with your family.
Right.
Yeah. And sometimes it's not safe for women in shelters to visit their relatives because the abuser might be there.
Yeah.
You know, you're going to visit your sister, the abuser will look for you there, of course.
And we're going to talk about that in some future episodes.
Yeah, yeah. So children can also have worries about this, like, is Santa going to be able to find me here? And it's really kind of sad. Well, it's more than kind of sad. It's very sad. But then being away from the family home can have its upside. Like for some children, it might be the best Christmas they've ever had. They're in a peaceful place. There's no fear that dad's going to get drunk and hit mom or, you know, hit them.
It could be.
Yeah. So on the bright side. So police responses to domestic violence incidents on Valentine's Day, Thanksgiving, and Christmas are usually less than average by a little bit. But there are more incidents on the other holidays, especially New Year's Eve, New Year's Day. And this same study that found that found that violent crimes occur more often at night, on weekends, and during the summer. So domestic violence is more likely to occur when there's more contact between the abuser and the victims, so that seems to make sense. And it's also more likely to occur when they're at home than when they're out in public, of course.
Sure.
Yeah. So do you have anything to share on this topic?
Well, yeah, just some studies from the District Alliance for Safe Housing in Washington, D.C. shows a big uptick in domestic abuse reports after New Year's. And their theory is that you've got Thanksgiving, Christmas, New Year's all occurring within 5 to 6 weeks.
Right, right.
And that things can occur during those holidays that lead people to report abuse. So from New Year's onward for the next couple of weeks, there's a fairly big uptick in domestic violence reports.
Okay, yep. Well, I read this article by Nina Funnell. She's a member of the National Council on Preventing Violence Against Women. And she tells a really interesting story of her first exposure to domestic violence. So she says, I just turned 14 when I was first exposed to domestic violence. It was Christmas Eve, and while home alone, I heard a knock at the door. I answered it to see a local neighbor with bruises all over her face and body. She came inside and waited for my parents to return home. But meanwhile, up the road, her drunk husband was keeping their two children hostage. Police were called, and when the children were released unharmed, it was decided that they and their mother would spend the night with us. The following day, Christmas Day, they packed the car, took the pets, and left to stay with a relative. So each year, police and support services prepare themselves for a spike in domestic assault cases over the Christmas to New Year's Eve period. So the combination of financial strain, families spending more time together, the increased drinking and possibly using drugs, all contributes to the rise in domestic violence over the holidays.
Oh, certainly.
Now, in 2009, for example, actor Charlie Sheen spent Christmas Day in jail after his wife, Brooke Mueller, accused him of attacking her during an alcohol-fueled argument. There's just an example in the media, in the public.
Right. You could say that Charlie had a history of some of that stuff anyway.
Sure.
But it was highlighted by the holidays.
Right. Now, the fear that victims live with both during the abusive relationship and after they leave, and the lengths that some have to go to protect themselves, you know, they also have the children and even pets to think about. So it really can be a hard experience.
Oh, I can't imagine how hard it would be.
Yeah.
I mean, you've lived with this person for how many years, and you're going to upturn all of that over.
Right.
Overturn all of that and go on your own. And you may or may not have an income.
Right.
And you've got kids and you need to find housing and food and everything. It just.
Yeah, and despite all, and even with all that, then you have to worry that your spouse is going to be more violent because you left, which
right.
really happens.
It's
so, you know,
just
all
horrible.
The, I know. All the true crimes we talk about, a lot of them started out, I would think, with domestic violence situations.
Right.
Especially the men killing their wives.
And the wives stick it out. Might be too daunting to try to go things on your own or do things on your own.
Or it might be unsafe.
Right.
So to wrap up this little episode, I just wanted to say that as communities, it's vital that we support victims. We need to take a zero tolerance line on domestic violence. And victims should never be blamed for the violence they experience. Nor should they be derided by those who ask, well, why wouldn't you just leave? Isn't that what everybody asks?
Yeah. I mean, that's the easy thing to say.
Right.
You should have just left.
Yeah.
It ain't that easy.
No, it certainly isn't. And the reality is that it's never easy to leave, particularly when victims feel financially dependent on their abuser or they feel a cultural obligation to stay. And I think in domestic abuse cases, it's very often is that they're financially dependent. They want them to be dependent and isolated. I mean,
yeah.
That's how you want a victim to be. You want to have them under your thumb.
No question.
Yeah.
I mean, it works out so that there's little recourse for the victim of abuse to do anything on their own.
Right. And I think that's why it's important as family and friends, we get together this Christmas. If we notice anything like that, you know, don't be embarrassed to say anything.
Yeah.
Pull your sister or your friend aside and say,
ask,
you know. And sometimes women will think it's okay. Women have been abused. If they've been abused by someone before, they might not realize their worth, and you might need to help them with that.
Right.
Yeah. And many abusers will convince their victims to stay through promises that they're going to change. You know, they'll be real nice afterwards.
Well, I think that's a common thread.
Yeah.
That I'm so sorry I did that. I won't do it again.
Right.
And guess what? It happens again.
Right. So that's just manipulation, emotionally manipulating
them. And you get back to
them.
The zero tolerance idea. I think that's a true thing. Just say, you hit me once, that's the last time you're ever going to do that.
I think you have to, but, you know, like we said, that's not easy to do.
No, it certainly isn't.
No. Okay, Dick, well, thanks for the discussion. I think it gives us something to think about over the holidays.
Yeah.
When we're thinking about how to help other people.
We're starting on kind of a downer here.
Well,
but
it's important, though. It's more important than most of the episodes we do, so that's why I threw it in first.
I think so. It's a good start.
From here on out, it'll be a little less dire, although, of course, all the topics are horrible, but it'll be a little less hitting home, I guess.
We'll be back to the true crimes.
Right. Okay.
All right.
Well, you know,
thanks,
I'd like to, thanks, Dickie. I'd like to ask all of our listeners to complete a short survey for us. So this survey can help us to get sponsors. Our show will never be inundated with ads. We're independent and we're going to stay that way. But I'd like to add one or two so I can eventually be a full-time podcaster. So please go to survey.libsyn.com/tiegrabber. Or you can follow us on Twitter at tiegrabberpods or Instagram tiegrabberpodcasts or on Facebook tiegrabber.com/Facebook. And I'll post the survey link there for you. You can just click on it, and honestly, it takes less than 2 minutes, and it's a huge help. Also, if you think that we deserve it, please leave us a 5-star review on iTunes. I know not everyone is on iTunes, but a large majority of our listeners are, and 5-star reviews really help us to find new listeners and expand our audience. So happy holidays, and we'll talk to you tomorrow.
We will.
Okay.
We're going to do this every day. I hope you don't get too tired of us.
They might. It's a risk we got to take.
Big risk.
Okay. All right. Good night.
See ya.
No cabs to be had out now. I wish I knew how. Your eyes are like